I'm Shane Hewitt, filling in on the rush this week. Richard Krause is here. It is entertainment time to put our feet up and talk about the fun stuff. And Richard, an incredible story that you've put together here that a little bit of history, a little bit of music, and I don't want to ruin anything because I know you've got some stuff all prepared for us. So before we get to the first story, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm good. I'm good. I see you've changed your Zoom backdrop. I enjoy that.
Yeah, it's me. It's you. You're attacking me.
Yeah, it looks like I'm about to crush your head for people at home.
Oh, very good. I love it. It's so good. All right, so you have a really cool story that you've crafted for us. So I just want to hand this one off to you, Richard, because I understand the basics of it, and I don't want to ruin any surprises you've got to the story. So I'm excited to hear it. Story time with Richard Krause. Go.
So Sally Taylor is a name that probably won't ring a bell with you, but her mother's name will. Her mother's name is Carly Simon, and she, of course, was the singer of the big 1972 hit, You're So Vain. And the reason that I'm talking about it this week is because of two things. First of all, Sally Taylor now lives in Halifax, Nova Scotia. She's made her way there. She's just moved there. And as she got settled and was thinking about her new life living in the Maritimes, she thought back to her mother's biggest hit and this line. And she thought, you flew your Learjet up to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. Well, she didn't get there on a Learjet, but she is in Nova Scotia, and the total eclipse of the sun is on Monday. So she said, you know what? I think that makes Nova Scotia the coolest place on the planet, which I will agree with because, of course, I'm from Nova Scotia, as is producer Ben. And it's interesting because it kind of allows us to think a little bit about who the song is about. Apparently, people say it's about Warren Beatty, but CTV Atlantic just interviewed Carly Simon about all this, the total eclipse of the sun, the Learjet, and she said, listen, I'm not going to tell you who it is, and you know I'm not spilling the beans here, but the word is that it's Warren Beatty, who flew to Nova Scotia on a Learjet to see the total eclipse of the sun, and now Carly Simon's daughter is there, and she says, I'm really hoping that everybody comes out and enjoys the solar eclipse and remembers Learjets and Carly Simon and just recognize what a special event this is. Maybe it will inspire them to write a song. Hopefully it will.
That's cool. Now, there's been a sneaky attempt for a long time to find out who that song is about. This just seems like a pretty good opportunity to squeeze it out of somebody.
Well, yeah. And so people say it might be Mick Jagger. Warren Beatty, his name keeps coming up over and over again, and he has a connection to the East Coast. I think it was his mother, and by extension, Shirley MacLaine's mother, who was from the East Coast originally. So it makes sense that he would go there to watch the total eclipse of the sun.
I love it. Although every time you say total eclipse of the sun, I feel like it's the heart, and then my brain shorts a little bit.
I know.
Richard, I have watched so carefully about, you know, total eclipse of the heart mm-hmm. and through the last bunch of days because that's where my brain wants to go. So, now that we've declared it, you know what's going to happen. That's the case.
I do. Yep. You'll say it sometime between now and 6 o'clock.
There are many ghosts in Donald Trump's brain, I'm assuming. It's a very big brain. It's beautiful. It's bigly. So, but the ghost of John McCain is some idea, I guess, that somebody thought, let's turn it into a musical. And big surprise, John McCain's daughter is not a fan.
Yeah, Meghan McCain has called a new play called Ghost of John McCain, which will be playing starting in or around Labor Day off Broadway until November 5th, which is Election Day in the United States. And essentially what happens is that it depicts John McClane as a ghost haunting Donald Trump's brain. She says this is trash. She's not into it at all. The director, though, says, listen, this is a psychological exploration of what an afterlife in Trump's brain might be like for John McCain as he gathers a Greek chorus coalition of Hillary Clinton, Eva Peron, Teddy Roosevelt, Taylor Swift, and a lot of other people who may or may not be squatting rent-free in Donald Trump's brain to rebel against the former president's relentless demands for affirmation. So it's a satire. It's a comedy. There's a few songs in here. This will be one of those weirdo kind of off-Broadway shows that gets a lot of headlines. I don't know if it's going to draw an audience, but if I'm anywhere near it between Labor Day and Election Day, I'll certainly be going to see it.
It sounds like it's titled after the guy who can't sue you versus the guy it should be titled after who could sue you, if that's
right.
The case. Although, Richard, I do got to call you out. You got a case of the John McClanes. You got a case of the
I know, John McClanes. I'm thinking of diehards. I know.
I love it. Okay, so some other things that we can take out this weekend. I don't know if everybody has seen the David Letterman, my next guest, conversations. He does such a good job with those. And Lizzo is on there. Lizzo is an interesting character because she's a pop singer, and Lizzo is a body identity advocate. She has embraced it and basically said, I'm not going to be your typical pop star. And it really starts foundationally because she was actually a flute player. And she kind of had said, like, how rock star am I in the middle of this stadium concert with all these pop songs? I just break out the flute and I play along. And so she has been, I don't know, very clearly and comfortably pushing a different look at pop stars all along. She got herself in a little bit of trouble along the way and recently made a statement that everyone got all up in arms about, but it didn't seem like it's really that big of a deal. I would suggest that you introduce yourself to Lizzo, regardless of whether or not you like pop music, and definitely introduce yourself to the David Letterman conversations with it. What did she say?
Well, essentially, she just said, listen, I quit. And that was on Instagram and all her social medias. And it was in response to a lot of heat that she has taken recently on social media. Some of her backup dancers were unhappy about the way they were treated while they were on tour with her. And they've gone very public. There's lawsuits. She gets beaten up all the time on social media. So she just said, I quit. There was the predictable outroar. Don't quit, Lizzo. You're too talented to quit, Lizzo. And now she comes back and says, when I say I quit, I mean I quit giving any negative energy attention. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music, which is connecting to people, because I know I'm not alone. In no way, shape, or form am I the only person who is experiencing that negative voice that seems to be louder than the positive. So she's not quitting music. She's just not going to allow negative energy in her space anymore. So interesting to see how that works out for her moving forward.
Plus, good marketing. Why not get everyone's attention?
Oh, okay, listen. And it got a lot of attention.
The Matrix is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love it. I think it's rather autobiographical to what life could be happening here in the background, as much as that's a stretch in many ways. But I love how it challenges thinking generally. It's also way out there and not even realistic at times, which makes it cool, but there could be more.
Yeah, listen, there's been a couple of sequels that were shot shortly after the release of the original Matrix. And then last year, there was another Matrix movie, all of which Keanu Reeves starred in and was part of. And now there's a fifth one coming. Lana Wachowski, who was one of the directors of the original film, is back as an executive producer, but it's a new director, a new writer, the whole thing. But it looks like Keanu Reeves is going to play Neo one more time, which surprises me a little bit, because the reaction to the follow-up movies, everyone loves the original Matrix. The reaction to the follow-up movies has not been, well, let's say strong. People have not loved those movies. I think when you talk about the Matrix, really, you talk about that first one. So I'm interested to see what happens with it. The guy that is directing it and writing it is a guy called Drew Goddard, who made an incredible movie, this weird horror movie a few years ago called The Cabin in the Woods. And he went on to write The Martian and lots of other things. But he's a fascinating guy. And if anyone can pull it off and breathe some new life into it, I think it's him.
All right, Richard Krause, you can get more of Richard here. next week, actually. I'm going to be doing this. And I love listening to you guys, you and then you and Teddy and all that stuff when you guys do this. So
I appreciate
that very much. No, I do very much. I love what you do. I think you do great stuff. All right. You have a fantastic weekend, sir.
You too. And look forward to the total eclipse of the heart.
Well done. Richard Crouse here on The Rush. I'm guest host Shane Hewitt.